Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
We exalt you. Be glorified. Come and take your place, your rightful place, because you have redeemed us, you have purchased us, we are yours. We invite you this morning in all of your glory. Come and dwell with us and commune with us. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Father. Thank you because you are a king. Your kingdom is not of this world, as Jesus said. Thank you. Bring the reality of your kingdom. Bring the understanding of it. Bring the revelation of it to our hearts. It's a mystery. It's a mysterious kingdom. But Father, we thank you because not that we are so wise and so studious or prudent or diligent. Far from it, Lord. But thank you because you've chosen to hide these things from the wise and the prudent. But you've revealed them to babes. Father, we yield our hearts as babes this morning. Speak to us. Speak to us. We want to hear your voice in the depths of our heart. Lord, confirm your word with encounters in our soul. Father, take away every veil. Every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge, we bring every thought into captivity right now. To the obedience of Christ, we cast down every imagination, Father, everything that is erroneous, every wrong thought, we bring them under chains by the power and the authority of God. Forever, Father. Just pour oil upon our soul this morning. Your word is spirit. It's spirit, Lord. It's spirit. It's spirit. Only spirit can take spirit. It takes spirit to receive spirit. Father, put a new spirit in us so that we can receive your spirit. Father, we don't just hope to receive. We want to expand. We want to become larger, become bigger on the inside. We want to become better. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Thank you for the presence of angels here. Thank you for giving us, having mercy on us, that they will be with us to bring this presence, this atmosphere. Father, this work can't be done without them. We ask for their presence to be on the increase so that they not minister in spirit, that minister for them who will be heirs of salvation. Father, give us more grace, more sensitivity to discern their presence and what they brought to us. We yield our hearts this morning under the ministration of the Holy Ghost. We say, let no man speak, let no man teach, let no man say anything. Let no flesh glory in your presence, both outwardly and inwardly. Get to the depths of our heart. Instill your fear and your trembling. Said unto this man, will I look? Him that is of a broken heart, of a contrite spirit, a heart that trembles at my word. Give us that attitude this morning, Father. We worship you. We worship you, Karinos. Karinos. Emprasina hapatielo sekebre helabata kelia. Hamanili kasalima ndura tamaya. Matazemo zesiba do shadima lalo kutene kedeno. Enton disia, yes. Keon, haha. Yes. Yes. Kairanos. Yes. Yes, Lord. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hear the Lord say that these are days of unveiling, are days of sight. See, that will begin to bring to you the revelation of the divine kingdom and an understanding of the dominion of God. It's time for man to come to his own. Jesus. It's time for the people of Israel, who are my people, to come into their portion and their inheritance. Your inheritance is me, saith the Lord. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. These are days of things being spoken, things which have been kept from the foundation of the world for the last time. For in this season it is ordained that men will come into the knowledge of the King. They will come into the understanding of the dominion. He said, I'm restoring back the purpose for man. The man will no longer live under deception or under darkness, but you will come to a place of an understanding of your essence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. We receive. We receive from you. We receive. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Who's this?
Oh yeah. Oh.
So fascinated. Praise God. Hi Dami. How are you doing? It's your first time here, right? Wow. Wow. You're welcome. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, does anybody have anything while we're praying? Anything that dropped in your spirit or anything you just want to, any impression? Praise God. One of the things that you know, when Joel prophesied about the last days, he said in the last time that, you know, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And one of the signs of that outpouring of the spirit for the last days is it will bring utterances. You know, we've had many moves of God. We've had, you know, the healing movement. We had the, you know, Pentecostal, you know, movement. We've had the faith movement. We have the holiness movement. All kinds of moves of God. Praise God. And a lot of the first move in the New Testament was the move of God that started, you know, on the day of Pentecost. You know, there was a great outpouring of the Spirit, right? And the disciples, the 120 of them, were in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit came down and they began to speak in other tongues. And from that experience, things broke out. Amen. Many of them, they came into a place of operation and authority in the name of the Holy Spirit, where they could do all manner of things, cast out demons, you know, work miracles, healings. The move was so powerful, you know, the shadow of some of them were healing the sick and raising the dead. Amen. Yeah. And we've seen great things like that happen. But when you look through the prophecy, when you even look at Isaiah, look at Isaiah, you see Joel, you know, those guys who prophesied of the end time, they prophesied about the move of the Spirit. But if you studied well, that move is not like, it's not like the other ones. It's not a move of the spectacular, if I can put it that way. Amen. Amen. It's actually a move of the Holy Ghost in a different capacity, where there will be things being uttered. There will be a lot of grace for utterance and for revelation. And this is that season. Praise the Lord. What it actually means is that towards the last time, towards the end times, that's when the Holy Spirit will actually come into the fullness of his mandate on the earth. Which is what Jesus spoke of him when he said, when he comes, he will now begin to teach and begin to speak. Praise the Lord. So when you have the height of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not in spectacular things happening. The height of the manifestation of the Spirit is where there is a release of the express thoughts of God, or there's a revelation, an express revelation of the mind of the Father or the will of God to man. And we know it's possible to have all kinds of miracles and spectacular things happen, but very little knowledge and very little light. And the church has been in that phase for a long time. But what God is beginning to do in these days, that God is beginning to open the eyes of people. Amen. Mm-hmm. And what I'm foreseeing, and has already begun to happen, is that in meetings, maybe in meetings like this, or even in church meetings on Sundays, but where space is given, and opportunity is given for the Holy Spirit to express himself, we'll begin to see more of the prophetic. We'll begin to see more of expression of the utterance gifts, you know, the gifts of tongues and interpretation, the gifts of prophecy, right? You see, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and all that. We'll begin to see them, because it's through those vehicles, amen? Those are the vehicles through which God will begin to bring his thoughts and begin to bring his things. Amen. It's hard to actually gain access to the thoughts of God without an overwhelming help from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we are here. God is there. We know our own things. We do our own things. If they tell you talk about the weather or talk about the politics or the government and all that, we can just, you don't need the Holy Spirit to come upon you to tell, to, okay, just, what's the political climate in Canada? You just begin to talk. Why? Because those are things of men. Praise the Lord. You know, So I can just give you any topic now. It has to do with things on the earth. You don't need to wait in the spirit and then sing and then, you know, till the Holy Ghost comes down before you can say something meaningful and something accurate. You remember, when it comes, and this is the mistake we make sometimes, you know, there's a way we've almost made common, amen, the real business of the church. Praise God. The business of the church is not the business of the world. The church is the only place where you can go to gain access, really, to the mind of God. That's the business. When Paul wrote unto Timothy, he said that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is what? The pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. And we know what is truth. We know that truth is not like facts about, you know, things you know. Truth has a definite, universal, absolute meaning. Truth means things that won't pass away. If something is today and tomorrow it will change, it's not truth. What is truth is anything that will remain the same, and those things can only be found in God. Praise the Lord. So God is now beginning to give an enhanced grace and enhanced ability for his children to begin to gain access to the mind of God. Amen. Paul said that no man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man that is in him. We all have the spirit of man, so we know the things of man easily. But when it comes to the things of God, do we believe they are things of God? Amen. Do we believe that there are things the same way we have our things? Praise God. There's a way our society is run, right? There's a way men think. There's a way when you raise a child, you know, like you now, there'll be a stage in our life where you expect her to start doing certain things and to start knowing certain things. Those are things of men. Praise God. Amen. Now, we all know those things, but God has his own things, because God is real. He's a real being. He's a real entity. Hallelujah. He has his own form of life. I mean, if we as just tiny creatures, you know, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him, thou hast made him lower than the angels. So in terms of stature, in terms of, you know, formation, man is actually the lowest of all those beings that have spiritual capacity. I forget about the animals and all that. We're talking about beings that have spiritual function. Of all of the beings with spiritual function that God made, man is the lowest. Because God made all kinds of creatures. He made the cherubims, he made the seraphims, he made the principalities, powers, might, dominions, all those beings. Praise the Lord. Now, of all of them, man is the lowest. But if in our low place we have so much definition in terms of the content of our livelihood, our life, the things that we do, praise the Lord. I mean, if someone wants to pick an interest, just this person, I want to pick an interest, I say, what thing can I sow my time into? And you want to go through all the interest areas in humanity, you can't finish them. You just go on the internet. Okay, what are people doing? People are doing all kinds of things. In short, there are some things you will find out, wow, so people actually do this. Because human beings are diverse. You think of that diversity in our soul. You know, all of those things, everything you see in your natural world came out of the expression of the soul of man. In terms of the organization. So obviously God created the trees and all that. But even, why is there a tree there? Someone planted the tree there. Why, you know, all this natural world, when you move into the sciences, all the different fields of study, you can't exhaust them. Praise God. Move into the social sciences, move into the arts, move into the performing, even in the arts, there's the performing arts, there's the visual arts, there's, you know, all kinds of things. Praise God. So what I want to paint is for us to see how much definition and variety
there is to just the small, tiny human life. But when we think of God, it's almost just a blur, right? Mm-hmm. There's just God there, you know, and we worship Him every Sunday and all that. We know there are angels in heaven. I mean, that's about all we know. Praise God. Amen. But God has His own things. If we have our things, we have definitions and varieties. Praise God. In God's own world, mean the God who made that soul from where everything you see came out from. Do you think in His world, all they just do, they just sit down there and then people just worship? You know that idea of heaven we have? So that, you know, that idea of heaven is actually boring to a lot of people. You know? Although they won't say it. I mean, you can't say it. It's always like a taboo to say heaven is boring. When you think of just worshiping day and night, that's all you do. Amen. But the reason why we have such a limited conception of things that are beyond the natural realm is because we are natural people by nature. Adam wasn't natural like that. Adam was made a living soul. He wasn't made flesh. But somewhere along the line, in chapter 6 of Genesis, that was just before God decided to wipe away everybody. He said, this man I have made, who was a living soul, has now become flesh. So there's no difference between the man and the beast of the field, who only thinks of what he will eat, what he will wear, his environment and all that stuff. Praise God. Now, but Christ, the reason why Christ came is to raise us back to a place where we can begin to interact with what? With the life of God. And we can begin to interact with the things of God. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you read the epistles carefully, you'll begin to see that, especially Paul's language, you see in many places he will begin to speak about things, things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. He said, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man, what God has prepared for them that love Him. But how would they know it? Well, He has revealed it, right, to us. By what? By His Spirit. Because no man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man that's in him. So no man knoweth the things of God. Praise the Lord. So there are things of men which you don't need help to know, which you know naturally. But that's not, that estate of having knowledge of the things of men is not sufficient for the man who God created. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but that's the first dimension. But there's another dimension of things of God, which he now says, no man knoweth the things of God, except what? By the Spirit of God that dwelleth. So that tells you what's the reason for the Spirit of God in man. That's it. Say, no man knoweth the things of God except by the Spirit of God. He didn't stop there. That he said, that dwelleth in him. Praise God. So, what he's saying is the reason for the indwelling. I mean, why does he have to come inside you? Before Jesus came, the Holy Ghost wasn't inside anybody. Holy Spirit could come upon man. And he did all manner of works by just being upon them. Praise the Lord. Some of them, Holy Spirit will not even come upon them directly. He will come upon something like a mantle or oil. Or he can come upon things. And then they use those things to do, like, you know, Elijah had a mantle. It was that mantle that was his whole, this thing. He could part the river with it. He could, you know, he gave it to Elisha. Praise God. So, it's scary when you think about it that the Holy Spirit can actually behave in that way. He can come upon things. There was a time the Holy Ghost even came upon a donkey and the prophet was misbehaving. Praise the Lord. The prophet was misbehaving. The Holy Spirit had to enter the donkey. And the Bible says that God did it to restrain the madness of the prophet. Amen. Yeah. So that tells you that the Holy Spirit being upon or being manifest in some outward way
cannot fulfill God's desire for man. If that was enough, Jesus wouldn't have come. And even when Jesus came, Jesus wouldn't have said, it's better for it's expedient that I go. Because there's someone who needs to come to you who will get the job done. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So the reason for the indwelling of the Spirit, the reason for the indwelling of the Spirit is to gain access to the things of God. Praise the Lord. To gain access to what? To the things of God. That's important. Can we say that? The reason for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is for us to gain access to what? The things of God. Amen. So when you are born again, there are many things you can do by the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know that Pentecost experience wasn't an experience of indwelling. You realize that? It says they were together in one place, and then they appeared unto them, cloven tongues as of fire, upon each one of them, right? And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? There came a sound as a mighty rushing wind and all that, and then they all began to speak. And from that place, the church was given birth to. Now, that church that was given birth to in the New Testament, that church, a lot of people make reference to that church as though that church is the standard for how the church is supposed to be, but it's not. That church was, it's like saying that he is the standard for human beings. No, she is growing. Hallelujah. She is a baby. So you can't look at her and try and determine how to behave based on how she's behaving. Rather, it's the other way around. That church at Pentecost, that church was the baby church. You know, when the Bible says after, you know, Peter spoke, many gave their life to Christ, the Holy Ghost came down, and they were added to the church, those who were to be saved. Praise the Lord. So Book of Acts chapter, let's see. Praise God. This is John. Okay. So Acts chapter 2. So it's a long chapter, right? When the whole thing happened, the beginning of the chapter, the Pentecost experience, and then most of it was what Peter now began to say, right? Then you now see later in the chapter.
Okay, I think
it's the last verse. Yeah, the last verse. Okay. Yeah. So it says, "We are praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So those who were added, they were not saved already. We've talked about the idea of salvation, right? A man is not really saved until the soul has been saved. When you get born again, your spirit is saved. But you need to now journey. You need to work out your salvation, right? That working out is not that you're working out. You're being born again. You're saved in your spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
But someone who's born again, if the guy just keeps living the way he is and doesn't journey further in God, after a while, sin will take over that person, and the person can die again. So if the person can still die, the person is not safe yet. The true word salvation in the language of the New Testament is when you have come to a place of fullness, praise God, where your soul has been fortified. Now, the reason why people are added to the church is so that they can be saved. Amen. Now, so what I was trying to paint a picture of that beginning church. And when you look at the life of the beginning church, you know, the Acts of the Apostle, praise God, was actually mostly the beginning to the middle part of Acts before Paul came on the scene and the things that Paul was doing was revealed. Most of that early church was full of acts of the Holy Spirit. So that is a characteristic of the baby church. You know, all those people being raised from the dead,
people being healed from all their sicknesses, all those manifestations of the Spirit, outward demonstration and, you know, spectacular things happening. Those were all characteristics of what? The baby church. The baby church is not a church of understanding. They've not even gained any awareness that they even have any hope or the desire of God, or there's an expectation on them to come into the knowledge of the things of God. What the baby church is engaged in is how to use the power of God to to rearrange or to you know, move the agenda of men. Bringing the power of God to do things naturally, that was, and that's a good phase to be, because you need to go through that baptism, right, of the name of the Holy Spirit, before you now begin to move into the things of God. But that's why when Joel, you know, Peter made mention to Joel here, right, when he spoke of the prophecy of Joel, that he will pour out his Spirit and all that. He said when he pours out his Spirit in the last time, the young men will see visions, the old men will dream dreams. Praise the Lord. So, visions and dreams, that has to do with the passing of information. Praise the Lord. It's talking about knowledge. You know, you come into a knowledge of something which you hadn't known before. That is a characteristic of the mature church, not the early church. Praise God. Now, the reason why I say this, you have heard a lot of people say, well, the church is losing its power. Why don't, you know, we have miracles as, you know, used to happen way back before? You know, there was a time in the U.S., you know, during that healing movement, times of maybe them Oral Roberts, you know, them, you know, Hagin came in later, you know, time of them William Branham, when the peak of the healing movement in the U.S. then the kind of meetings they used to have, you know, one of them said it was almost as if healing was in the air. You can get someone born again today, the next day they are raising the dead. Or they are healing the sick. And the kind of miracles, crazy stuff. You know, legs will grow, someone doesn't have legs, legs will grow out. You know, hands will grow out. And all kinds of things. So spectacular, praise the Lord. Now it's essential for the church to have come through those phases. But what you now begin to find is that there's a different emphasis in the movement of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is actually the governor of the church. He's the one who directs things. Christ, what he wants to give to the church are the things of Christ. But so he's the one who will nurture the church, raise the church up, and then move the church forward gradually to a place of perfection. Now, but you'll find that now, like in these days, the emphasis of the work of God is not that thing. That's why, you know, Jesus said, he said, no man after drinking of an old wine just outrightly tell you, okay, I want a new wine. He said, because he will say the old is better. That's what Jesus said. So, but you cannot pour new wine in an old wineskin, right? It can't work. It will break the wineskin. You need a new wineskin for a new wine. Praise the Lord. But I see that we are in that phase right now where, you know, naturally, we would, if God just left us as a church, we wouldn't get to a point where we tell God we are tired of all this miracle and signs and wonders, we want to know you now. We will not naturally by ourselves come to that place. It's not possible. Because that's a strong wine. It's intoxicating. I mean, imagine being at church and all these things are happening. Who wants to sit down and listen to the word? No, let's continue that Holy Ghost meeting. Let's have all night every day and let's display the power of God. Praise the Lord. We won't go to, you know. But, you know, in the book of Isaiah, is it 25? It says, who will he teach knowledge? Who will he cause to understand the message? Right? See, he who has been what? Weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Because precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The idea of being weaned from milk, what does that tell you? It means that this child now, if you leave this child and keep giving the child milk, she will suck milk till she's 10 years old. And she will tell you, I don't want to suck milk anymore. There will be a point where you have to say no. Even though she wants it, no, it's enough. You have to move to something else. That's the nature, praise the Lord,
of believers. And that's the same way the church is. So there has to be a season where God will win the church of those things. Okay, let's stop all those miracles and all those things for a while. So you can become sober. Praise the Lord. And then come to a realization of the true ministry of the Holy Spirit. For the reason why he is given, so that the church can begin to what? To know the things of God. Paul said, if ye then be what? Risen with Christ. If you what? Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above and not things. So you see the idea of things again. You see it? There are things, the things of man, things of God. Now Paul is saying things above, things on the earth. There are different kinds of things. They are spiritual things. Praise God. The spiritual realm, for the most part, seems a blur to us. It's not tangible. It's not real. Because we are used to relating with natural stuff. But God has to win us from natural stuff for us to come into a place where we are sown into the things of the Spirit. And when we abide in that place, after a while, those things will become what? Our own things. By virtue of the Spirit of God that is in us. Praise God. And when we were worshiping this morning, there was a lot of emphasis on the King. Amen. The reason why I started saying all these things is really because just to explain the kind of atmosphere that we must have. I mean, the New Testament church, we have to come to that place where... I find even in the so-called teaching ministries today in the body, but the fact that the ministry is a teaching ministry doesn't mean they are doing what God will have this generation come into. Because it's not just enough to teach. What is the essence? What are you teaching? No, you can have a teaching ministry, but you are just teaching people how to develop their natural life. But you're not teaching the things of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but the reason is because to get access to the things of God, you can't just walk like an agbe around with God, you know, bring a, it's not, God doesn't do that stuff. Amen. Amen. God keeps his things because when he gives you his own things, he's committing his own self to you. He's making himself vulnerable. Amen. Someone like Lucifer was in heaven. He had occupied the place of knowledge, stature in the spirit. But the Bible says that you have corrupted your brightness by reason of your wisdom. So he came into a place of custody. Read the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah where they described who he was. His job was to cover the seraphims who were a lower cadre of angels with light. He was like a pastor to seraphims. In heaven. Praise God. Amen. Now, he's a cherub. He was a cherubim. He says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what? You know the job of the cherubims in heaven is actually they are a covering. God right now in present heaven dwells in the midst of the cherubs. Praise God. Amen. You see, in the present tabernacle, there's the image of the cherubs. And then you see where they put the Ark of the Testament. That's where the symbol of the presence of God. So those cherubs are guys who their work is to carry knowledge. They are knowers. That's the kind of spirit they are. They know stuff. Amen. So, but you see, one of them fell. And then he fell to the earth. Praise God. And as soon as he came to the earth, he encroached into man's domain. And he caused man to fall. Immediately man fell, God had to drive man away from the garden in which the tree of his life was. Praise God. Because that tree of life, he said, lest he put his hand there and take from that tree. Because that tree is actually an access to the secrets of God's life. And God will not allow a corrupted being come to that place. That's why when Paul speaks about the mystery of God, he says he talks about the hidden wisdom. Which God has hid from the foundation of the world. Why did God hide it? God will hide that wisdom until a generation of people come who are worthy of it. Worthy in sense of their heart has come to a place where their wineskin is changed. And by great, you know, winning and workings in the church, God will have brought a certain people to a point where they will seek Him. Praise the Lord. Because such people, God will place that ability to come into the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we meet and then we spend so much time worshiping and there's emphasis on our hearts, you know, resting. There's a way, you know, I can just sit down here because I don't have notes. I don't, you know, teach with notes and all that stuff. It's as the Spirit, whatever the Spirit brings when we gather, that's what we teach. And that's what God told me. That's the point of this. The reason why we are doing this is not because there are not enough meetings or people doing stuff. It's because there's God has a desire for there to be an environment where He can see certain things. And for Him to be able to do that, we have to be obedient. Amen. So I want to encourage us to key into that. That's the move of the Spirit. That's the move. That's the task. For every generation has a task in God. God has something He wants every generation to look for, to get. And there's a generation that God is looking for. It doesn't matter how many generations comes and passes. God waits. He's very patient. Amen. God will wait till He finds the generation that He can unveil Himself to. Praise God. In the book of Psalm chapter 24, it said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" Right? "Who shall stand in His holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and what? A pure heart. Who has not lifted his soul unto vanity." What is vanity? Vanity is the things of men, the things of this world. Because they are vain. Praise the Lord. Bible says the world is passing away and the things in it. So men who are still focused on things here, even though they are born again and they are Christians, such people haven't satisfied this requirement in Psalm 24. They have what? They are two dimensions. Who has a clean what? Clean hands and pure heart. Those are the two dimensions of man. Your heart is your inward content. Your hand is the things you are doing. One flows from the other. Now there are some people who are trying to clean their hands, but what's inside them hasn't been dealt with. Praise, they are still keeping things. What's in you, what makes your heart pure, are the things that are in you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what? Evil things. Amen. So God has to change what? In order for you to make a man bring forth good things, you have to change the content of his heart. Now, what is the means the content of his heart has to be good, right? But what is good? Is there anything in this world that is good, in God's standard of good? Nothing. Nothing is good enough for Him. You need, the heart has to be full of His things. Praise the Lord. It says, who has a clean hand and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, say that person shall receive blessing from the Lord, and then righteousness from the God of his salvation. They now say this is a generation. So it says what I've been describing is actually a generation. Praise the Lord. He said this is the generation of them that seek Him. That seek thy face. Praise the Lord. So I know and I'm convinced this is the expectation. We have gotten to a place in the church where this is what is the next level. Are there going to be knowers of God? People who know God. People whose heart have been purified. Amen. And are waiting for Him. So as we're worshiping this morning, so whenever we're worshiping, I open my heart because we know that for you to receive things from God, we have to key into the Spirit. Praise God. So you see, the whole attitude of worship is not just, you know, coming to sing, you know, the songs we know. It's good to sing the songs we know, amen. But there is so much more. The heavens is full of newness. Songs flow, that dimension in the spirit. When you commune in the spirit, you realize that that's a world of songs, of melody. You know, a song in the spirit is not just a sound or some, or that. Or, you know, what a song does is a song is able to, the song is a transporter. It carries not just information, it carries atmosphere, it carries encounter, it carries experience, it carries attitude. So when you come to heaven, what you will just begin to hear, you will begin to see songs flowing from those creatures. Hallelujah. Their song is their testimony. Their song is their worship. The melody, song has to do with a rhythm. There's a rhythm in their soul that connects with the throne, that connects with the Father. Praise God. So songs are strong. Songs are vehicles, amen, through which God will transport his things. It makes it easy for the heart to connect in the spirit to the throne of God when we come into a place of melody, because those melodies are anointed. So that's why we trust God. You know, and Paul said it. So whenever you gather, you know, if one of you having a hymn, one of you having a psalm, one of you have a spiritual song. So a spiritual song is not just a melody or a song. A spiritual song is a song that is serving a purpose of a spiritual purpose. It's bringing forth a spiritual transaction in the souls of men. Praise God. So when we are able to submit our heart and then yield to expression of the songs of the Spirit, you discover those songs will bring an atmosphere to you, to bring an atmosphere of God. In that atmosphere, it causes the heart to yield in a certain way where certain thoughts can come. Praise the Lord. And oftentimes, when we get to the peak where we've not even started yet, when all of us have become exercised in that dimension, we'll come to a place where it will be so easy for the voice of God to break. You know, the prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Hallelujah. Now, tongues is also another powerful thing that God gave to man. Hallelujah. To connect the soul of man to the heart of God. That's actually the main reason for that language, for tongues. To connect the heart of man, amen, to the heart of God. Paul said, he that, if you read, speaks in a tongue, right, does not speak to man, but who? But to God. It says, building up your faith, yourself, in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are building up yourself, you are communing with God. You are bypassing your intelligence that is full of all the things you know. You know, the thoughts of man is actually the greatest enemy to the thoughts of God. So sometimes God has to find a way to bypass that. And God doesn't just want to interact with your intellect. That's fine. After a while, our mind will become redeemed. Praise the Lord. And we'll become spiritual in our mind. That's what the Bible says, to be spiritually minded is life. It's possible for your mind to be spiritual. But what the place God really wants to get to is the heart. Praise God. So when we pray in the spirit, you're opening up your heart to God, to communion with God, and things come. Yes.
When people start praying in the spirit, and when people say it gets mechanical and yields nothing, what does that mean?
What happens then?
Yeah, what happens?
Yes. You're not great.
Not getting new tongues or there's no flow.
Yes.
Then also, when we pray for new tongues,
what
does that mean?
What does that mean?
Like those two things.
Yes.
So I just need clarity because people have their different perception of God.
Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So about that, you know, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? So that's the key verse, because it brings the concept of effectiveness into prayer. So effectual means it's possible for someone not to pray effectually. What the verse is, if you are praying effectually and fervently, right, and then, but what makes that happen is righteousness. Does it make sense? What makes prayer effective is righteousness. Now, righteousness, not in the sense that you've done something bad or not. Righteousness in the scriptural definition, you know, Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. Why? Because therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed. So righteousness is actually tantamount to the revelation of the will of God. Jesus said it. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be heard. You shall receive it. Praise God. So when you are actually praying, what makes your prayer effective is the content of revelation of God that's in your heart. So if you see, there are people who all they do is just pray. All kind of pray, you know? But by prayer alone, you can't make advancement in God. Right? Prayer goes in line with revelation. You can't really pray without revelation, because if you're praying without revelation, what are you praying? Now, see how prayer works. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it said that likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Why? We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But what the Spirit what? For us with what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. So what that infirmity is lack of the content of God's will in our soul. Yes. What the Holy Spirit does is that when you are praying in the Spirit, is the content of God's will in your soul. That's why you are communing with God based on that.
So it's the content of God's will in our soul. Mm-hmm. What He thinks or what He knows is best for us at that moment.
That's
I thought that's what it meant. Like when you speak in unknown tongues,
yes.
Since He knows the best for you at this time, and He addresses it in that line. So you're saying that it's based on the content of
God you have in your soul. Prayer is a mysterious thing, right? Now, like, read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, for example. Just read, like, from when it says, take on the whole armor of God, right? That you might be able to stand in the evil day. And then he now begins to list the armor. He lists the armor from the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, truth, foot shod with the gospel. Every single thing that he listed are all the word. They are all the word. Praise the Lord. Then when he now gets to the end, he now says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So what actually makes prayer effective is the revelation of God in your heart. Now, there are two transactions going there. Okay, let's look at it in a technical way, right? We know one thing, that the reason for prayer is to get the will of God to be done, right? Okay. Now, we know that God does not respond to prayer that's not according to His will, right? But we also know then that man cannot know the will of God without God giving him. Do you know that? Right? He said that your ways are far from my ways. God just leaves us to come and pray anything we want. We will never pray what's in God's heart. It's not possible. No man can know it without the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So that's why you cannot separate the ministry of the word and prayer. They are inseparable. As you are praying, your heart is there's a question in your heart. You're gaining revelation. That revelation that you are gaining gives you ability to pray more effectively. They work together. Does it make sense? So the more you come into, that's why, I mean, you can take two believers. They are both Christians, they are both born again, right? But they are in a situation, right? And then they both begin to pray. What one of them's prayer can produce, the other person might not be able to produce. Because even though they are both praying in the Spirit, it's the same God they are praying to. But when a soul is offering prayers to God, there is authority in prayer. The authority in prayer is the measure of the will of God in your soul. If somebody, his mind is full of possessions, his house, his car, his this, his that, his career, his children, and all that, that's what the soul is full of. And the person is praying in the Spirit. There is no, you can't touch deep, call it unto deep. You can't touch the depths of God. Doesn't matter how many fasting and prayer you do. But someone who has a knowledge, whose heart is full of God, I mean the things that's driving the prayer, the desire is an understanding, a revelation of the perfect will of God. As soon as that heart begins to pray, what happens? Heaven opens. Daniel wasn't the only person praying in Israel. You know? That time, he wasn't the only person. But Daniel said, it came to my heart, and I searched to know by books the time when, you know, the people of Israel should be in captivity. What he was actually searching out, he wasn't praying for some natural need to be met. He was searching out what is the will of God concerning Israel, and what's the state of the people. The understanding of that is what drove him into prayer. And as soon when the angel with the answer came to him, he said, as soon as you began to pray, you see, immediately you began to pray, he said, the answer was released from heaven. Although the person bringing the answer was, the angel responded to was actually revelation of the will of God. Hello. The revelation of the will of God that he has. Amen. So, like today is just gisting. We didn't even open the Bible, but it's okay. We'll just follow. Oh, you're hearing, right? Revelation of God's will. Praise God. Amen. So what will make us powerful? Now, right now, the Satan is the god of this world, right? Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "You had he quickened, right, who were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the same spirit that works in children of disobedience," right? The prince of the power of the air is Satan. He also says in, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, of chapter 4, said, "If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to them who are perishing, who the God of this world have blinded their eyes, lest they should see." No, the God of this world is Satan himself. That Satan, the Bible calls him a covering cast. He's a cherub that covers. So he is actually in the air, and his main job is to make sure that men are not able to ascend past the natural world. Man's awareness and consciousness and desire should not rise beyond what they will eat, what they will wear, all this stuff that we do here. You shouldn't come into a desire for the will of God. Because the moment we come to that place, we've put an expiry date on his occupation of our world. What gives him the legal right to stay there? Because his will is in people's hearts. That's what they are praying most of the time. They don't have the will of God. That's why prayer is so ineffective. You can have a million Christians going to do prayer meeting and all that, but things are not changing in terms of the spiritual landscape. Wickedness is still taking, has a stronghold over the people. Because the people who are doing the prayer, many of them, they are full of themselves. All they really desire in their heart, check how they spend their time, what they sow in their interest, still has to do with this present world. They don't have the content of God's will in their heart. Such a person, you can't pray any consequential prayer. As long as the Satan has his things in you, that's all he cares about. If he has his things in you, it doesn't matter how well you prosper. Just be prospering. Don't wake up one day and say you want to understand. Or you want to know beyond your natural life. Praise the Lord. So Satan will tell God, you have your people, but they are living my life. They are born again, but they are living my life. God is illegitimate. He can't just come and handle Satan. If we are subjecting ourselves to the will of the enemy, praise God. The will of Satan is not Satan saying, go and kill somebody, or something drastic like that. Doing his will is you are living the life that he produced. Evil spirits, they are architects. They design life for men. They will tell you what should you think about. What should be moving your heart every day? Praise the Lord. What should make you worried? What should you be living for? As long as you are living according to that, you don't have power or authority. Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, for he found nothing in me. Means he didn't find any of his things. Jesus' life was so powerful. He didn't have to, he said, I and my Father, we are one. Whatever I see my Father do, I do. There was almost a seamless, even though he was a man, he had a constant access to his Father, both in prayer and in every way, because his heart, amen, was full of the Father. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. That the idea of food speaks of satisfaction, the content of the depth of a person. Amen. So that's supposed to be full of God's will. Hallelujah. Yes. Praying for new tongues. Now, when it comes to the idea of tongues, is that word of tongues is actually very vast. Even though in Christianity we just, summarize it and just pray in tongues or whatever. But that doctrine of tongues, right, is vast. There are different expressions, different kinds. Praise God. There are many scriptures, we can see in the scripture. For example, when you get born again, immediately you get born again, you have the ability to speak in new tongues. In short, you might not even have had that Pentecost or outpouring or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can speak in tongues without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? Do we agree? It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they can cast out devil, they will speak in new tongues and all that. That new tongues is talking of just is that ability. Once you are born again, because your spirit has become connected to God. And if you yield yourself to fellowship, you can fellowship to God to a point where that spirit wants to give expression. And the way your spirit expresses, your spirit doesn't think in English or Yoruba or anything. What your spirit is actually trying to say are mostly things that you can't even utter in articulate speech. So it gives ability. Now, someone who's not born again, the spirit is not saying anything to God. Praise God. That spirit is not even connected to God. So that idea of speaking in new tongues, the word new has to do with the new spirit or the recreated spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise the Lord. That ability is there. But for a lot of people who get born again without being receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's hard for them to even know they have that capacity. Because it's not although they have the capacity for it. Now, what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does is it what? It's fullness, right? The word baptism comes like baptizo. It means immersion. That's what it actually means. Like so the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the immersion in the Holy Ghost. So immersion has to do with someone's whole body being dipped in water. You say you've immersed the person, right? So a person who has been receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is someone who has been dipped fully in the Holy Ghost. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, you don't need some kind of, you know, special service for you to begin to speak. It bubbles out of you. So when you come to baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit comes upon you mightily. And the Spirit coming upon you, it's what? It brings out that expression. There are a lot of people who get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. It just happens right away. Some, they get born again, later they get filled. That happened to me, right? So now there's that feeling of that ability to speak in tongues, which you have when you are born again. Then when you get full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit comes and takes over you, means he's come in a high measure. But when he comes, one thing the Holy Spirit also does is that he gives gifts. What we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he gives severally as he wills. So apart from the ability to speak, so that one when you get born again, that's the one that you use to pray. Okay? There's a difference between praying in the Holy Ghost and then speaking in an unknown tongue. Right? Praying in the Holy Ghost has nothing to do with anybody. It's not a ministerial thing. It's not something that you use to minister to edify the body. That's just you, your ability to commune with God in your heart. Essential. That's your main method of communion with God. That's praying. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, one of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is what they call diverse kinds of tongues. Right? Diverse kinds of tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, reason for the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not just, it's not for you. Is given for the body when you read that chapter. So people who have that, you usually, when we are in the service, like Essie was praying, she was switching between both. After, when you after a while you get to be able to discern them, right? Also, if you have the gift of interpretation, or if you have the gift, you can discern it too. There are times when you are praying in the Spirit. Just because you are born again and you can pray in the Spirit. And that's just you communing with God. There are times when you are in a meeting, you're praying in the Spirit, but something comes on you. That gift of other kind of diverse kinds of tongues becomes activated in that moment. And most of the time, you see the tongue changes. It's not just praying to God. They are actually saying something. They are saying something, and the reason why for what they are saying is for edification. That's why Paul now said, when such a thing happens, it's very essential someone is there who can interpret it. And most times the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, like, together. So either the person who is speaking like that will also have the ability to interpret, or someone else in the room will have the gift of interpretation. Right? Now, interpretation is not translation. Now, if someone is speaking Yoruba, you can translate Yoruba because you know Yoruba. So when you're translating Yoruba, you go word by word. Huh? So you take this word. This word means that. What this word means today in Yoruba, in 10 years, that's what that word will mean in Yoruba. So anybody that has that word can translate it. When it comes to interpretation of tongues, it's not translation. Because what the person is giving expression to is not a human language. I say, this tongue, Raka Mushalaba, means this in English. Praise the Lord. What they're actually saying what the meaning of what they are saying, the person that's speaking that tongue, the heart has come into a weight of an expression in the spirit. And this their soul, by virtue of that gift, it's trying to give expression to it, but obviously it comes in almost gibberish, right? But the person who is interpreting, who has the gift of interpretation, that's why you don't need a special ability, anointing to interpret Yoruba. But the interpretation of the spirit of tongues, you are not interpreting what the person is saying. You have to ascend to that place where she's picking that expression from, and then give that expression in what articulate speech. That's interpretation of tongues. Right? Now, in that dimension of diverse kinds of tongues, in that gift, there are different ones. There's what Paul called tongues of angels. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13. So, when there's an angelic visitation, right? A real angelic visitation is not an angel appearing. Sometimes it can happen, but that's not. When an angel really comes to a meeting, what the angel usually brings is utterance. Because if we come and see a vision of an angel, now the angel will appear, actually the angel will go. What have we received? We've not received anything. We can just maybe go out and say, wow, in our meeting today, an angel came, wow, it was glorious, and blah, blah. But we haven't moved forward, praise God. The reason in the ministry of the New Testament, nothing is done for the sake of just being spectacular or anything. It's for everything that's done, including the gift, is for edification, for impartation. So most times when an angel comes, those who have another gift in that those nine gifts called discerning of spirits. Mm-hmm. That discerning of spirits, not discerning evil spirits. Some people, that's all they discern. But the real spirits that you are supposed to be able to discern. Because, I mean, why would you be discerning evil spirit? They don't edify. The reason for the gift is for edifying the church. You get? So those are excesses that Satan has just brought to distract. The main purpose for the gift of discerning of spirits is to discern the spirits whose job it is to help us to come to salvation. Hebrews chapter 1, right? It says, are they not ministering spirits that minister for them who will be heirs of salvation? So God sends them. They will come. When they come, you see someone can, a tongue usually, you trigger a tongue. And that tongue is usually different. You know, it's the tongue of an angel. Someone that has the sign of spirit, an interpretation of tongue, you know that an angel has come. Yeah. So there are different kinds of tongues. There are sometimes in your own personal ministration, like me, I have actually more visitations, a lot more in my private time. Praise God. Now, a lot of times when I enter into, you know, I have a visitation. For example, there's a time we were here, was it a month ago or so, Essie and I, and we had an angelic visitation. And we're speaking, we're praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden, as they came, he also resonated with the climate. It's a long encounter, I can't narrate it, but many times, when those angels come, they come with sign. You know, they have power over our natural world, right? An angel can come now, this sun, as it's bright right now, once the angel comes, you will see the cloud will come, thunder will break, and rain will start falling. Sometimes it happens like that. Praise the Lord. Now, there is that dimension of the angel coming when we are ministering, and part of that gift of diverse kind of tongues is in manifestation. Now, in our own prayer, so you're not ministering to anyone, but in your personal prayer time, this will answer your question, right? There's also levels of tongues. Because when you realize the idea of tongue, like a tongue is almost like an identity. It's almost like an access. So if you want to gain, it's hard to access, for example, maybe the Chinese culture well and experience it if you don't know the Chinese language. They can be interpreting things to you and all that, but you won't have the same kind of encounter. You won't explore them properly. So language or tongue is actually a key or access to a particular realm or a particular domain. So what you'll find is that the more you begin to gain access in the spirit to higher realms in the spirit, your tongue will begin to mature. The tongue, when you're praying, the way your tongues you have as a baby Christian, there is not a lot of versatility, or, you know, it's not the same. So people will start speaking with just one expression. And they say, laba, 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 uh-huh. But as they begin to commune with God, and that thing that tongues align with is revelation. And revelation are stored up in realms in the spirit. The whole world of the spirit is a world of knowing. What separates a seraphim from a cherubim is that the cherubim has access to certain a knowledge that's holier than the level of the seraphs. Same thing, if you come down in the angelic Kedar, the knowledge they keep, in terms of the knowledge of God and the level of communion, is different at different levels in the spirit. So, but you know, you actually know that God's actual purpose or his agenda for man is that man will actually arise and become better than angels, will arise through the ranks in terms of soul capacity and coming into the knowledge that they have. Jesus did it. And everything Jesus did, that's what God expects us to do. Say, being made so much better than the angels. Jesus grew through those ranks in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So you now find out, and this has happened to me at different, many times, different phases of my spiritual work. The times when I break into new tongues, it comes with a new flow of understanding. So I discovered that, I remember one particular event when it happened. It was back in Winnipeg, my apartment room. I didn't have furniture, just a living room like this. It was just plain carpet. And I was just praying. I prayed. It was a burden in my heart that refused to go. I just kept praying and praying. I prayed for a long time. And after I prayed, all of a sudden, I broke into different kind of tongues. Like, audibly, you can tell the tongue's expression is different. And with that tongue, I began to receive impressions. I found I had grace for understanding and interpretation of things that I didn't have before, both in the scripture. Sight. Praise the Lord. If I'm making sense, or I'm just wondering. So, in your own personal terms of praying, there are measures and there are levels. As you are growing in revelation, in your soul's ability to comprehend or to conceptualize God, the more your soul is open up, usually they give you a higher level of expression. The tongue you're speaking is a tongue for that realm that you're gaining access to in the spirit. This is the real stuff. Like, these experiences is what the letter is supposed to bring us into. Like, when John went to heaven and then he saw all those things, those were not just, it wasn't like John sitting down and then, you know, those were real, like the weight. When John, for example, saw the angel, he fell down and almost started worshiping. Why? Because just the being, it's not just the vision, it's the weight of the person. One angel, just one seraphim, praise the Lord. If he comes to the earth in his glory, we can't take it. So John saw, so that tells you that in the spirit, it's not just about knowledge. Knowledge gets you to the reality of the encounter. The reality of the encounter is something that your soul processes. It's not here. It's in your heart. And sometimes that thing can be so heavy upon you, it gives way. And that's what you experience when you have diverse kind of tongues. Your tongue is trying to say what its heart is experiencing, but it can't. It just says all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. Does it make any sense?
It's actually a very explanatory. Just all that.
Yes, yeah.
So, when you say you discern, you discern a presence here, you see the gift of God without repentance. So, what I interpreted as before is like, when the gift comes upon you, it's not supposed to go, right?
Usually,
it should not, or you should exercise yourself in it. Mm-hmm. So let's say you discern before God, it's off. Does that mean maybe you are off? You're veered off. You need to come back on track. Like, I need an explanation on that. Or can you just experience something for a meeting and
that's
just,
it?
Just see it to not exist then.
That's it. Yeah. These things are very diverse in the way they occur with people and in different times and seasons. The way to interpret every personal case is always has to be based on an overall understanding of the purpose for it. So, the gift is given for edification, right? Like that one that comes generally for edification. Now, there are different seasons. Like right now, I can give an example. When I was in Winnipeg, because we used to meet a lot, right? Then. There are some brethren I used to fellowship with who were close, right? It was very, very close, and I'd also grown a lot in the spirit. Right? There's a particular brother who we used to fellowship a lot, and he has grown a lot in the spirit. And even now, we pray too. We have a prayer line. Now, usually whenever we pray, now, almost from the beginning of the prayer, a lot of times, is full of manifestation of the Spirit, right? It's full of, encounters. We have more frequent visitations, like angelic visitations and all that. Now, but like in life meeting here, for example, we don't have a lot of that yet. Is actually if that measure of the visitation and the expression of the spirit that we have in those prayer meetings, that we do, if it actually we begin to have that now at this level here, it might be probably more of a distraction. You get than a profit or than a you know edification. Than what?
Than for edification.
The reason is that those things actually come out of the Word. So there's a place where the Word of God will grow to in the Word and will advance in the Spirit, that those things will break out. We'll now get to a place where to move further, you need those kind of encounters. Because there are some words and understanding and experiences you can't have without those things that help. They have to help you, take you out of the natural, come to a higher place to have ministration on that level. Praise the Lord. So, for some people, it's also in seasons of their life. There are people I know who, when they were Christians before, but then when they now came into encounter with those word of righteousness, we kind of call it word of righteousness, the focus on God, righteousness of God, and the word of the kingdom. Like, I think in our meeting, she was in one of our meetings, and then the Holy Ghost came on her strongly. And utterances, tongues, and all kinds of spiritual activity. And this lady, she's given to the things of the Spirit, right? Now, it happens more frequently, and sometimes God will do that for baptism's sake, to cause that shock to the soul, to make the soul pull out of the natural, right? And align to the Spirit. But you get to a point where God won't continue like that, because if you continue like that, the person won't grow. Every time you want to pray, you just enter spirit. You won't no understanding. for understanding to be imparted, there has to be calmness. There has to be a time where they will keep that spiritual expression. And you go through a season where substance will come into you, and then you will get to a place where you can carry it. So that's another example. So for each person, it's hard to just prescribe a general thing. For each person, now there might be times when you might feel like this is something I might have left sleep because I didn't exercise myself in it. And the Holy Ghost might be telling you that. In that case, you now begin to give yourself more to it. There are times when the Holy Spirit might be telling you, no, wait, focus more on the Word. Because those things can go out of hand if they don't come out of the focus on edification. Yeah.
Growth has been.
Yes.
I told some of my friends something that even if maybe someone like that wants to check back, because you know we've seen something, it can happen. So but then maybe sometimes also you wonder those things you saw before what's happening now.
Why is it not? Yeah.
Yeah. I think
yes. So now in the hand of the Holy, there's a way you can force it, but it's not good. You won't. Yeah. It's not good. There are people who can rebel into places in the spirit. They'll just be watching you, okay. No problem. But the best way to flow in spiritual things is not by forcing it or trying to push. It's grace. And when the grace comes, we will know. There will be times when we come here, we won't be able to even teach because the presence will be so strong, the visitation will be so strong, because the word would have grown to that level where you need that. Like, if you start teaching about the heavens, for example, the spiritual stratas of, you know, realms in the spirit, it's hard to teach those messages, those kind of messages, without help or visitations from those spirits. They will bring the understanding to us. So it goes with growth. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the time is fast spent.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah. Is that another question? No?
Yeah.
We're good. Any other question or contribution or anything? Thank you, Father.
Based on what you were asking in regards to, I guess, when the Spirit manifests, one of the things that is also important to realize is it comes as the Spirit wills. So he also kind of touched on it. Sometimes when I believe one of the encounters is when Jesus asked the 70 to go out. If you see by their reports, it was kind of like, even they were amazed.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that was kind of like an expression of, you know, the Holy Spirit moving, you know, amongst them, right? And one of the warnings he gave them was that do not be moved by all of this, but your name is written in the book of life. So it's just kind of pointing to where the true emphasis should be. So sometimes when I'm just trying to say, sometimes when you're filled with the Holy, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there will just be a dimension on outpouring. You know, and it might not necessarily even be a gift, right? That has come to, you know, that usually occurs normally, right? But then in that moment, one of those gifts will just come. Maybe you'll be discerning of spirit or interpretation or you understand.
Yeah.
But then next time I just like, where did it go, right?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. That verse, gift of God and without repentance.
Yes.
What it used to mean and what I used to understand that was, if it comes, stays, it's there. It should not go. So sometimes I'm like,
this gifts thing is because of the soul, right? It's not the Holy Spirit just coming to take over you. It's you yielding your soul to participate. If you have a gift, but you don't stir it up, like Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God as in you. Now, if you don't stir it up and you don't give it yourself to it, it might not manifest. Now, there are also times when someone might not have come into a gift, but because it's in the air or it's in the meeting, then you will be able to, you know, express that. Generally, what I found with gifts is, although it's up to the Holy Spirit to give. But there's nothing wrong with desiring them. But it has to be a pure desire for them. It's actually very helpful. I actually wish that a lot of Christians would desire to operate in those gifts, because it will help so much to help. The gifts, especially those utterance gifts, prophetic gifts, they help the ministry of the word so much. They help it so much. I've been in a lot of meetings where, you know, the minister is ministering, and you know, there's a place you can minister to, it seems as if you are stuck in terms of utterance. So then a tongue will come, an interpretation will come, will create a new direction, a new opening in the spirit, and then the minister can, you know, help the minister. So that's the nature of the ministry of the New Testament. It's highly spiritual.
And those kinds of things, there used to be like the other spiritual leaders that probably used to, I don't know if this was correct, but they used to, like, I don't know, where is the word guide, like, for example, tongues.
Mm.
So they pray for you, it's funny, it's based there, speak, and you just, there's nothing coming.
Yeah.
But over time, you can see that it's almost like you need that help. So we used to have a lot of things like that back then. Like, I feel, so you know, sometimes everything I just get mumbled out of my head. I'd be like, well, those things for them, and maybe you don't need it now. Or
no,
get it for,
we need it now.
To do some things that time. I mean, God is telling you now, go in this direction. Or,
so it's very important now, and it's happening now in Nigeria. I know of ministries where it's crazy, it's just crazy flow. It's like when you get there, the spirit is so tangible in the air, you can almost, you know, God will help us.
There was one that happened at the retreat, that it happened to me personally, and I, you know, for the longest time, I didn't understand that. There was just a hunger within my spirit for someone to speak in tongues around me. And the minute I heard the right tongue, I was filled with joy.
Yeah, I think someone told me that. I didn't say that. That one on Thursday, I think.
Yeah, so like, sometimes when I'm praying with someone and there's just that urge for them to speak, and the minute they stop, I just feel the need to go back to them and be like, keep speaking. You know, and it was something I couldn't understand. And then I just got to realize that maybe the right word might not be guiding, but there's...
Exactly, maybe it's not guiding.
Yeah, there's also...
You can encourage people to move move further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't encourage someone to discern, can you?
To what?
To discern.
Discern something?
No.
You see, that area of encouraging people, let's stay away from it.
Okay.
Because the heart of people, men, are deceptive. If people feel a bit of pressure, like they need to do something, the heart can enter a place. And Satan is, there are many spirits here that are interested in telling you things and showing you stuff. Yeah. So I believe in patience. If you're patient, just this word, God's what God told me, like for live meetings here in Ottawa. God said, just be faithful to the word. Be faithful. If the word is taught accurately, right? Souls naturally will enter that place where the expression will come naturally, and you will need to, you know, encourage people to, you know, be a certain way. Yeah, that's how I believe it's supposed to be. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Let's just begin to thank God and just thank Him for what He has said to us. Just thank Him for being faithful to us. God is not really obligated to show up when we gather or when we meet. He's not obligated to say anything. But every time God speaks to us, it's mercy. It's a show of His loving kindness towards us because He's been merciful. Let's thank Him. Let's say, Father, we don't take anything for granted. We don't take that. We are hearing You. It's not something that we take for granted. We cherish every word. We thank You. Thank You for the instructions. Thank You for the revelation. Thank You for the insight. Thank You for awakening our awareness in different ways today. Father, we ask that the word will remain and bring forth fruit.
Father, let's pray for yourself. Say, God, I want to take my own portion of what has happened this morning. It's not just the words, there's spiritual transaction going on. I want to take my portion. Let my portion not be lost. Father, help me to keep it. Help me to carry it. Help me it to mix with faith in my heart. Father, help me to continue and give myself to it so that my profiting will appear. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Let's pray for grace. Grace to yield more to the Spirit in the capacity in which He wants to be manifest in this day and time, which is bringing the thoughts of God, bringing the things of God to us, bringing the revelation of the Son to us. Let's pray for an increase. Let the expression of the Spirit in our heart, let it be in an increase. Let our ability to yield to Him, to hear what He's saying, to give ourselves to Him. Let's ask for a divine increase in our appetite. Appetite for the truth. Appetite for the things of God. Appetite for the secrets of the Father. Let's pray for an increase in our desire. Let Him teach us how to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Let Him help our soul, culture our soul, so that the reality, our reality will be the reality of the Spirit, not what we see in the natural, but we'll begin to see the secrets of God. Let's pray for a fresh place of communion, fresh place of fellowship. We need to get to a place where we can push in collectively into certain things in God, higher things, a higher place in the Spirit. But usually the foundation of any collective experience is an individual experience. There, each of us have to be having individual encounters in our lives daily. The fullness of our individual walk will translate into something powerful and wonderful in our corporate experience. Let's ask for more of God, more of God in our hearts, more of God in our lives. Father, become more evident, become closer to us, become more real to us. Anoint us with your presence. Oh, Father, thank you. In light of our discussion, let's just pray. If any of you have been desiring for anything, I don't know what it is, maybe a measure of the expression of God spiritually, or you're desiring for something to break into something spiritually. You are desiring for a new experience, a new place, a new day. Just begin to ask now. There's grace right now present. The Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart that there's a grace here this morning that He will give. He will share things among us this morning. Divine ability, divine ability, divine ability. Matesene brohana sito pranos. When the grace comes upon you, you don't need to apply so much effort to move in the Spirit. You will be carried like the wind carries. You will begin to soar upon the wings of the wind. You will rise like an eagle. It says that the wind bloweth where it listeth. We hear the sound thereof, but no one knows where it's coming or where it's going. So is he that's born of the Spirit. Let's ask for abilities, graces, utterances. Grace for utterances. If there are any gifts of the Holy Ghost which are being placed in us, they haven't been exercised, let's ask for ability, grace to exercise them, that God will help us to come into fullness in the Spirit. We spoke about, tongues in our personal, place of communion, that there are levels in that realm, in that there are places of encounters, different heights in the Spirit, different levels of communion, the richness of your fellowship, can increase. You can begin to discern God in a more tangible way. Let's begin to pray, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for all you have said. We receive with thanksgiving. We open up our hearts and receive every allocation of grace. The ministry of the New Testament is an impartation of grace and truth, because that's what Christ, that's what you are full of. So we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we receive grace this morning. Let grace be released to every heart here. For those who are not able to make it physically here, but who are connected with us in spirit, Father, we ask for their own encounters too. Meet them, O God. Visit them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you,
God. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim.